there are two sides of it. The most important one is every member of Congress takes an oath of office to support the Constitution, and it has been well established since the earliest days of our history, even before we had a Constitution, that the president was to have exclusive control over what classified information he gave to Congress. My focus in the hearing was on Section 10, which would apply whistleblower protections, greater whistleblower protections to employees of the intelligence community. I told the committee, I went back to 1776 when Benjamin Franklin was the chair of the five-member Committee of Secret Correspondence of the Continental Congress, and when France agreed to a major covert operation to help the American Revolution with guns and money and all sorts of help, Franklin and his colleagues said, we can't share this information with the other members of the Continental Congress because, and I quote, we find by fatal experience Congress consists of too many members to keep secrets. And this went on. There were so many examples in the Federalist Papers. In Federalist 64, John Jay explained that there would be foreign intelligence sources who would be willing to confide in the secrecy of the president but not in the Senate or House. And he said, for that reason, in drafting the Constitution, the founding fathers had left the president, and I quote, able to manage the business of intelligence as prudence might suggest. And this was accepted by the early Congresses. They, when they appropriated money for foreign affairs, they said that the president should account specifically for expenditures of the said funds that could be made public, and for the amount of other expenditures that, in his judgment, could not be made public. There was no, give us a secret report, because it was understood Congress would leak it.
But you don't think whistleblowers do play a role in bringing forth information that might not be uncovered otherwise?
Oh, I think that occasionally they do. I think we need protection for whistleblowers who find waste, fraud, and abuse that might embarrass their supervisors. And the executive branch has a fairly elaborate system. I worked in the Pentagon, the State Department, the White House during in the early 1980s for a number of years, and before that for 5 years in the Senate. I remember Ronald Reagan saying he wanted his inspectors general to act like junkyard dogs in exposing waste, fraud, and abuse. And there are systems to do that, and I have no problem at all with federal statutes that protect whistleblowers in most areas. The concern I have is that Congress does not have a right to classified information, and this statute pretends to immunize lower-level federal employees who decide to give secrets to Congress that without the permission of the president. That's an unconstitutional act. It would have no effect.
I think you have to discriminate a little bit here against the type of whistleblowing we might be talking about, because even the president has proposed having a panel within the White House for people to go to instead of openly to Congress, as you say.
That's a great idea.
I mean, if there's an intelligence program that someone thinks is going amiss, and that's one thing, but if your supervisor in an intelligence agency is just stealing money, good old garden variety fraud or abuse, that wouldn't really violate national security in any way if that came to light.
It would not be a problem if you told someone in the White House. That's exactly the way to go. Let me give you just a couple of examples from the last Thursday's hearing. The former chief of the U.S. Park Police told the Washington Post that her department had inadequate resources to do their job. In the process, she informed terrorists, pedophiles, common criminals, and all sorts of people of a vulnerability in our system. Now, obviously, in an ideal world, we would want our park police to have everything they need, just as we want the FBI to have additional resources to go after Al-Qaeda. But in reality, you often have to make choices. You have to rob Peter to pay Paul. And the greatest danger when you do that is that the enemy will find out that poor Paul is sitting out there with lots of small bills in his pocket and no one to protect him. And when she alerted the world to this weakness, She committed, I think, a firing offense, if perhaps not an imprisoning offense.
So you're saying that there are certain kinds of there's information and a way to get this whistleblower information out, but not necessarily disclose fully to the public all of the warts and problems associated with the internal workings of an agency.
Exactly. This is why in the national security area, setting up something in the White House, ironically, between 1981 and 1984, I was in the White House. I ran something called, I was the senior person, full-time person in an operation called the President's Intelligence Oversight Board. And every employee in the intelligence community had a right to come see me personally and complain about anything they thought was illegal going on in the intelligence community. And every inspector general and general counsel had to report to me regularly whenever they felt or whenever they had reason to believe that something might be illegal.
And did much come into that panel?
Some did, but not a great. We used to get regular reports from the IGs and general's counsel. There wasn't a lot illegal going on, but we did get calls from individual, and not only calls but visits from individuals. And that type of system works great because we were cleared. We reported directly to the president. The system worked well. Let me give you one more example from the hearing. An air marshal learned that a decision had been made to take air marshals off certain long-distance flights in the United States. He went to the Washington Post with that, and they said, oh, this is a horrible decision. It should have been made public. Well, the purpose of the air marshal program basically is to deter hijackings. You know, deterrence is a function of perceptions. It doesn't really matter whether you've got air marshals. It matters whether a potential hijacker thinks you do. And so making that decision, perhaps to put more air marshals on other flights, perhaps to take the money and use it for FBI, anti-Al-Qaeda operations, whatever, that might be a wise decision. And the harm is only done when it's called to the attention of the bad guys. And by giving this stuff to the Washington Post and other newspapers, this air marshal did serious damage to our security.
And actually, he was fired, I believe.
Yeah, he was fired.
Yeah.
He should have been fired, but he was one of the poster children, if you will, used by the witnesses to say why
Good
they
point.
Needed greater protection.
Mm-hmm.